Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We continue our study from the book of Judges. We have completed the study of all the judges. From chapter 17 onwards to the end of this book of Judges, the Bible recorded two very major incidents. Chapter 17 and 18 is a record of one incident that is found in a Jewish home, an Israelite's home. But from chapter 19 onwards, it will be about the nation of Israel. But both of them describe one central theme. And that theme is what happens to a home where every man will do what is right in his own eyes. What will happen to a nation when everyone will do what is right in his own eyes? Just as it was in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, there are two levels of testimonies. There is the level of testimony as a nation. For example, when the king was a good king like King David, the Bible will say that the nation was a godly witness unto the Lord. But it does not mean that every single Israelite during the time of King David was a believer. And so you and I have, from the study of God's Word, another level of witnessing, and that is as an individual. So there will be individuals who will be godly even in times when the kings were ungodly, like in the time of Ahab and Jezebel. We had godly men like Elijah and Elisha and 7,000 others who did not bow their knees to Baal. And so these two levels of witness will be found in the remaining chapters of the book of Judges. Just as in the church, you may be in a church that may be God-honoring, where the leaders will lead and guide the church with righteous rules and regulations, faithful preaching and teaching of God's Word. But that does not mean that every single human being in the church is a believer. Spiritual decay is a very dangerous situation, state to be in. I read somewhere that the people who are coroners, where their job is to find out how this person dies, when they're supposed to cut up dead bodies to find out what is the cause of death, I read that many of them, if not most of them, would try their utmost to deal with the smell that they have to face every time when they cut up a body. And the way to do it is not every time you breathe something that you cannot stand, you go out to the window and then you open the window and breathe in fresh air. Because if you keep doing that, you will never get used to the smell. And so the way to get used to the smell is to keep on smelling. Don't go in and out, in and out. And once you get used to it, you don't smell it as a stench anymore. For you and me, if we go in there once in a blue moon, you will continue to feel the nature of the stench. But when you get used to it, it becomes part and parcel of your way of life. When I was in the army, I never knew that when you don't bathe much after your training, you smell. Because everyone in my platoon, all of us are like that. So when all of us smell, nobody smells. Because all of us smell the same. We knew that when we get into a bus. Because the moment you sit down, the people around you get up. So now you know that you smell because the people smell your smell. So we get used to the stench. Now, when it comes to spiritual decay, there is also a stench, because that's what happens when decay comes. There is a stench. And if you get used to the decay yourself, you get used to it because the stench, at the beginning you feel miserable, you feel horrible. But after you get used to it, it becomes okay. And then more so when you mix around with people who are just like yourself, you also feel that it is okay. That is the danger of the spiritual decay. that we are living in our world. Christianity is so confusing and so diluted today that it is so hard to find a church that is God-honoring. You have the brand propounded by the Roman Catholics. You have the brand propounded by the largest Protestant denomination in the whole world. They have grown within 100 years at super pace, that they have outpaced many of these mainline denominations that have been in existence for hundreds of years, the charismatic movement. They have outpaced, in terms of speed of growth, major denominations such as the Presbyterians and the Baptists and the Anglicans and the Methodists. And these denominations have been in existence since the 16th century Reformation. And so they have their brand of easy believism, believe in Jesus Christ and you'll never be sick, you'll never be poor. Spiritual decay is upon us. It is in the world. And if we are not mindful and careful to find out exactly what this spiritual decay is, we may already be in that state and we are not aware of it because we get so used to it. We are surrounded by people who are like us. We don't smell it anymore. And that is something that you and I cannot afford to be in. Because this self-delusion will not stand up on the day of judgment as a legitimate excuse before God. You and I cannot stand before God and say, well, God, everybody smells like me. Well, God, everybody is like that, you know. Lord, we get used to it. That will not hold any water before God. So what exactly is spiritual decay? What we have here in chapter 17 is a description that illustrates a typical Israelite home. This is not a unique situation. Remember, this was the period of Judges. Please note verse 6b. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. What does that mean? Well, God will now show us what it means. In an ordinary Israelite home, and the man who was in charge of this home was called Micah. Micah means who is like Jehovah, Micah. It's a good name. It's not the Micah of the minor prophets. This is another one. Another Micah. A common name. A good name. But there's nothing wrong with the name. But there's no point having a name that is God-honoring when your life, your home is not God-honoring. So let us look at the first clue concerning this spiritual decay. Let us look at the location of the decay. It is in Israel. It is in a home in Israel. Israel was supposed to be God's people. If the world is in decay, understandable. That is the characteristic, the nature of the world. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came, to save us out of sin, to save us out of the world's decay. The world is in a state of spiritual decay and total depravity from the moment sin entered into this world, as far back as the days of Adam and Eve. But this was not the situation. This was inside the people of Israel, in God's land, the promised land. It was supposed to be a land of witness and testimony where the world, by looking at how Israel lived their lives, they're supposed to see Christ. And that is why it was very shocking to find the spiritual decay that was supposed to be found in the world only, and now we see it inside the land of promise, inside a home. It's supposed to be a godly home. It's supposed to be a home where the Lord is the head, but not anymore. It's a very sad state to find a home that is in spiritual decay, especially the home of God's people, like in the church, just as it was in the land of promise in Israel. And he said unto his mother, there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah, and he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee about that, about which thou cursest, and speakers of also in my ears, behold, the silver is with me. So he stole from his mother a very large amount of money, 1,100 shekels. That's a lot of money. Please note how much Micah offered the Levite priest to be his household priest. What was the offer? Note verse 10. 10 shekels of silver by the year. Not even 1 shekel a month. 10 shekels for 1 year. That was how much he offered this Levite priest. And the Levite priest say, yes, thank you. He accepted it. And here you have Micah stealing from his own mother 1,100 shekels of silver, which was an enormous amount. And then the mother cursed the money. That means anybody who took this money will also be cursed. And so when the son heard it, the son probably felt very guilty. And then he returned the money to the mother. I'm the culprit, mom. I stole your money. Now what a terrible, terrible house to live in. Where Micah, supposed to be the head, where the father was, we do not know. And here you stole from your own mother, and then when the mother cursed it, you heard about it, now you want to return, and watch the mother's reply. The mother blessed him. Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. Well, he blessed the son for stealing. Now maybe because, well, you returned, so maybe bless the Lord, right? But you look at the next couple of verses. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, now you watch what the mother said. I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord. Wholly, that means the entire amount. 1,100 shekels of silver from my hand for my son. All right, because of what my son has done, and so I'm going to dedicate this entire amount to the Lord. Now how did she dedicate this entire amount to the Lord? Now please note, she did not forget the name Jehovah. It's just like you and I may not have forgotten the name Jesus Christ. But what did she do? She said that this money is supposed to be dedicated to the Lord. Now, who was the Lord? Now, how did she know the Lord? How did she think of the Lord? To make a graven image and a molten image. That's the Lord. To her, that was the Lord. A graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. That was what happened. Inside the house. Stealing. Blasphemy. Lying. Yet he restored the money unto his mother. And what did the mother take? 200 shekels of silver. Was it not 1,100? But only now 200 of shekels of silver, and gave them to the founder. The founder is the person who will manufacture these idols. Who made therefore thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. You promised 1,100, now you gave only 200. And then to you the Lord was made of gold, metal, stone, molten image. Made in the image of man. The location of the decay is the home, the Christian home. This is God's concern. The decay in the home of unbelievers, that is not God's concern. I mean, God is concerned for their salvation. But when the spiritual decay is in the home of God's people, God's concern is more than just their salvation, but the witness of the people. Because this is supposed to be a godly home. And when you make God into your own image, even though you may call Him Jesus Christ, but if it is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible, you know the danger and the detriment that you are doing on this earth. The spiritual decay that is found in your home will have a very disastrous and negative impact into the lives of the people inside your house and the people who know you, your relatives who know you. It is one thing to be an unbeliever in an unbeliever's house waiting for the gospel to be given to you to find salvation before you die. It is another thing when you say you have salvation, when you say that you are Christians, and then you present an image that is not Christian, even though you may call it Christian. You now become an enemy of God. You have now taken the side of Satan to stumble these people who are waiting to see Christ. But now when they look at your life, they look at your family, they find no Christ. What they find is only spiritual death. That is far worse. It is one thing to be an unbeliever, at least you are not hindering the work of Christ. You are waiting to hear Christ. But when you call yourself a Christian, when you are in the promised land, calling yourself the people of God, the nation of Israel, and then you do not present the world to the world who is dying in sin, who Jesus Christ really is, your spiritual decay has become a tool of Satan to fight against the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you say is your Lord and your Master. Check your house. Check your home. Evaluate your home life. Evaluate how you live as a Christian in your home. Now, we are not referring to those who have non-Christian parents. We are talking about many of us who are Christian parents ourselves. And then we have children. You have an honest, true to God evaluation. Are these sins very prominent in your home, where the name of Jesus Christ is mocked? You say you want to give your house to the Lord, and then your Lord is made of something, like in this case, graven image and molten image. Or it may not be an image that you have on an altar somewhere in your house. It may be invisible to the naked eyes. But it could very well be very present in every room in your house. And it starts with the letter M. Mammon. Materialism. The cult of materialism is so great in our society that when you and I do not make a conscious effort to ward it off, it will be like some kind of creeper, some poisonous creeper that will creep into your heart, creep into your home, creep into your children's heart. And it will continue to try. It will not stop. The moment you step out of your home, the moment you switch on your computer, your television, whatever it is, you are bombarded by this poisonous creeper, materialism, that will try to creep in and control and suffocate you and to wrap its tentacles around your heart. Invisible, but not to God. Ask yourself, the spiritual decay, where is the location of this decay? The Christian home. That is where we have to guard against. When we come to chapter 19, we'll talk about the church as a whole. But let us now look at the home first. Your home and my home. The spiritual decay is deadly and dangerous. Where is the source of this decay? Look at verse 5 and verse 6, you'll find the source. And the man Micah had an house of gods. Who was the main culprit? Micah, the head of the house. The father is gone. Now he is the head. He controls. He decides. The next few verses of this chapter will focus on him making all the decision. Now watch what he did. He had a house of gods, and so these two idols just add to this house of gods that he already had. And then he made an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Who dares to consecrate someone and make someone a priest? Only God could do that. Do you know that? Because the word priest comes from a root word which means holy ones, sacred ones. You and I are sinners. How dare we as sinners say that now you are a priest? Only God could do that. That's why when the Bible says you and I are priests, it is not the church that has the authority to do so. No church has the authority, because the church is just an institution looked after by sinful men. So only God could do that. God was the one who appointed Aaron and the Levites. Nobody else could. And here we have Micah. He will just simply do what is right in his own eyes, and he now put himself in place of God. And so where will he find priests? Well, he make his own sons. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That is the state of affairs. The source, the head of the house. So you want to find the source of the spiritual decay in your home, look at the head of the house. Who is the head of the house? The man, the Christian man. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians 5. In the Old Testament, it is the same. If the wife were to make an oath in Old Testament times, and without the husband's knowledge, and then later on when the husband finds out, the husband has the right there and then, to say the oath does not count. And God says, he being the head of the house, has the authority to override even the oath of the wife made in the name of the Lord. And God will not hold it against the wife. But if the husband keeps quiet, then the oath will stand. That is the duty and the responsibility of the head of the house. So first, you and I look at the location of the decay. It is the home that you have to guard against. The source, look at the head. He is the main culprit. You hand it over to your wife, you are still held accountable by God for abdicating your role and your responsibility as head of the house. Your duty is more than just going out to work and bring into the house bread and butter and bacon and whatnot. It is more than just buying clothes. It is spiritual. Why? Because you are a spiritual person. You call yourself a Christian. Don't call yourself a Christian and this does not apply. But the moment you call yourself a Christian and you do not bear the witness of the Christ of the Bible, you are worse than an unbeliever in an unbeliever's home. Because now you have become a stumbling block to bring shame to the name of Christ and to distort Christ by the way that you live. So please, every Christian man in this congregation, sit down, quieten yourself, and take a deep, deep look into your own soul, and then you look at your wife, and you look at your children. They are your responsibility from the day when you got married. Their spiritual well-being is your total, absolute responsibility. You're supposed to help your wife to become more spiritual, not carnal, not material. You allow her to work. Your duty and your responsibility. If she gets affected by the worldly, carnal philosophies, and then she brings it home, it is your responsibility and you are to be blamed. Because it is your duty, whether she works or does not work. The Bible made it very clear in the scripture. And you being the head of the house, you let your children be looked after by others who are not godly, who are not spiritual, you pay the price for your children's soul. Because in their early years, those are the best years to impact and to influence them for Christ. When they are in their kindergarten age, you have 110% influence over them. You give them poison, they eat poison. You tell them this is good, they will eat. You tell them this is bad, they will not eat. They are helpless. But as they grow older, your influence will diminish. As they enter into the primary school age, your influence will diminish maybe by 10 to 20%. And by the time they come to secondary school, it will reduce further into 50%. And then when they are in their junior college, 18, 19, 21 years old, your influence is near zero. And when they become adults, all you can do is to watch and give advice, and they may just throw everything back into your face, and there is nothing you can do about it. And if they love the world, and they continue to live in the world, and embrace the world, and all you can do is to cry to God and beg for mercy, don't you sit down there and think that you are guiltless. Spiritual decay is a very serious problem today. For some of us, all we can do now perhaps is to beg God for mercy. Because our children are grown. But for many of you, when I look at your little ones, when I see them running around, cute little ones, 3 years old, 4 years old, a bundle of joy, yes. But realize the spiritual responsibility that is in your hands as parents. More so the father. You can shape them and mold them while they are still soft and pliable. Into the image of Christ by the way that you live, by the way that you pray with them, by the way that you pray for them. Or you can shape them and mold them by your hypocrisy and allow the spiritual decay to creep in and shape them and mold them into the image of the world. Your decision. You are the head. Do your duty in a godly manner before God as head. It is God's choice to make you the head of the family. Why? How do I know? Because you are the man. God made you the man, is he not? And that's why you are responsible. You have no choice. Literally. Fulfill your function well. Don't weep and cry like Lot at the end of his life. He had nothing. Moab, who is my father? That's the name of his son or his grandson. Ammon, still crying for her people, Ammon, my people that have died and perished in the fire and brimstone. You want to remind yourself of your people? Who are your people? The Sodomites, fornicators and homosexuals. Why would you want to name your son reminding you of your people whom God had destroyed by fire and brimstone? There was his second daughter who named the son Ammon, the Ammonites. Do you want to end up like Lot? He is an example for us not to follow, not for us to emulate. As a warning, you and I know that everything you own on this earth will perish, destroyed by fire, and you still want to head in the direction, knowing your Heavenly Father has revealed to you what He will do in the end of this world. And you still want to care only for the possessions and the things that you can hold in your hands, when you could very well, as a child of God, shape and mold your family and your home and your lives in a way that is eternal, that is spiritual, that is made of things that are not seen instead of the things that are seen. You pay an ultimate price, and the price is so costly, it will be the souls of your own children and your colleagues and friends. But if they die in their sin, they end up in hell. The price is so costly. When spiritual decay creeps in, you bring shame to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven and on earth that can save a sinner and turn him into a saint. And you have brought shame to that blessed name. That's the tragedy of spiritual decay. It's found in the Christian home, and the source is the head of the home. And the cause of it, verse 7 and verse 8, there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. Now, the first thing you and I have to take note when you read verses like this is to remember Joshua chapter 21. Why? Because in Joshua 21, you have the list of all the 48 Levitical cities. And so all you need to do is to check, and then you'll find that Bethlehem, Judah is not a Levitical city. Now, the Levites and the priests, they are only allowed to stay in a Levitical city. And the reason and the purpose was that they are to assist the priests and to study God's word and to teach the nation of Israel the word of God, so that they will not forget how to worship the Lord with their offerings and their sacrifices and how to live a holy life. That was their duty. They don't go to the farm, they don't go to the field to work. They don't have any ownership of any farm or any field. God wanted them to take care of the spiritual life of the 12 tribes, while the 12 tribes will work in the field, and then they will give of their first fruits to the priests, and their tithe, and their 10%, that is, the tithe, to the Levites. So that the 12 tribes will take care of the physical needs of the Levites and the priests and their families, while the Levites and the priests are supposed to study God's word and take care of the spiritual life of the 12 tribes. But this was God's way to make sure that the nation of Israel was godly under his rule as king, theocracy, before the king of Israel, monarchy, steps in. This was God's way. And so when you look at Bethlehem, Judah, you do not find Bethlehem, Judah on the list. So the first thing we need to ask ourselves is this. What was this Levite doing in a city that is not a Levitical city? That was one act of disobedience. He packed his bag and he moved house. You're not supposed to do that. This is not your city. You cannot stay in this city. And he was a Levite, and he lived there. And what was he doing? He came out of the city of Bethlehem, Judah. Why? Because he had no work. What was your work? Your work is to do the work of a priest, to assist the priest. It is spiritual in nature. First, you are found in a wrong city. Second, you have no job. You have to move out of Bethlehem, Judah, where you can find a place to find work. And he came to this Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. Now, Bethlehem, Judah, by the way, is also the same Bethlehem where the Lord Jesus Christ will be born hundreds of years later. There are two Bethlehems. That's why you have to attend the word Bethlehem with the tribe, Bethlehem Judah, versus another Bethlehem that belonged to another tribe. So this was the main problem, the cause. When spiritual men who are supposed to study God's word and teach God's word do not, that's the cause. Now the source is still the head. If you are found in a church where the pastor is not teaching God's word, where the leaders are not emphasizing God's word, they may be the cause of it, but the source, the ultimate responsibility is still the head of the house, especially in our kind of climate, where you can find other avenues for you to study God's word, to take care of your home and your family. The leaders, the church that you are attending is not blameless. You are right. They may be the cause of it, because when pastors do not preach God's word, do not teach God's word, and you do not know God's word, and because you do not know God's word, you do what is right in your own eyes. That's the bottom line. That's what it means. Remember, as far as the world is concerned, when they do not have God's word, which is the absolute law, everyone will do what is right in their own eyes. And so you have Singaporeans doing what is right in the eyes of the Singaporeans. So to us, our government says, anyone who brings in pornographic material, you'll be caught and you will go to jail and you'll be fined. You go to other countries, you go to Australia, they will do what is right in their own eyes. Pornography is so openly and publicly, as long as you're 13 years and older, you can buy it from any shop that sells it and you can read it in public and nobody blinks an eyelid. Everyone will do what is right in their own eyes. That is the philosophy of the world. But Israel, in the land of promise, you have the absolute law of God. You cannot do that. But when the leaders, the spiritual leaders, now remember, the printing press was not invented yet until the 15th century AD. The people in Old Testament times, they don't have the Bible the way you and I carry the Bible everywhere you go. When they hear God's word, all they can carry is in their head. They got to literally memorize big chunks of the Bible. And that is why when you study about Jephthah, he was able to know the word of God, the history of it so well. It's all in the head. They have no Bible, no book to refer to. And so when the Levites and the priests, who are the guardians of the word of God, who have the word of God, if they don't study and teach the word of God, there is no way these people will know God's truth, and so they will do what is right in their own eyes, and to them they may know the name Jehovah. That's why the mother of Micah said, the Lord. But to her, what was the Lord? These two golden graven image, molten image, these two idols. They do not know God's word. That's why they will do what is right in their own eyes. And the cause, the teachers of God's word, the preachers of God's word today are doing the same. You just go to the internet and you listen to some of the preaching and some of the teaching of churches. The word of God is secondary. Sometimes the word of God is just simply a byproduct. Everything is just social. You love me, I love you. A lot of sweet talks, a lot of sweet nothings. There was a BB church that I listened to, the preaching. And the pastor would have the audacity to base his teaching and his practice on Fiddler on the Roof. You know Fiddler on the Roof? Oh, you don't know Fiddler on the Roof. Only I know. You don't know Fiddler on the Roof? It's a musical. It's about a Jewish family life in some olden part of Russia. And then he used that as the basis to teach about marriage. And the amazing thing is that people just sit there and listen. And then at the end of it, somewhere in between, you just sprinkle a Bible verse here, sprinkle a Bible verse there. But the bottom line, the basis of him telling the people how they should live, have a marriage life or some kind of home, is based upon Fiddler on the Roof. I was surprised that he did not sing, because it's a musical. And it's common. It's not uncommon. And so the people will think that they are all doing the work of the Lord, but in fact they are doing what was right in their own eyes. Now remember, they did not forget the name Jehovah. Now just because you think that you are doing the will of God sincerely, That does not mean that God cannot charge you with doing what was right in your own eyes. Please understand this. You may think sincerely that you are doing the right way according to Scripture, but because of your ignorance of Scripture, because your pastors and your leaders did not teach you the Word of God, and you think you are doing it like what Micah and his mother did. They did not forget the name Jesus Christ. But in fact, God says, what they are doing, the way that they live their lives in their homes, is they did what was right in their own eyes. The cause, no word of God, the teachers of the word of God abdicated their position, they went AWOL, absent without official leave. And so, Micah and his mother and his sons would just simply do what is best and convenient for them. They don't care. So, the source of the decay, the head of the house, the cause of it, the teachers and the preachers of God's word. That's the cause. No word of God, and that's where you will get the problem. So you better make sure you know the word of God, head of every home. Your knowledge of the word of God better be better than that of your wives. Otherwise, how are you going to lead them? You know how difficult and painful it is for the wife who knows the word of God, and then the husband is not spiritual, and then you give carnal, worldly advice, and because you're the head of the house, and they are forced to submit to you, knowing in their own heart of hearts that what you are asking them and forcing them to do is not according to God's word, and it breaks their heart. They want to submit to you, but they are more spiritual than you because they study the word of God more than you do. And because of that, you want to bang table and you want to pull rank and say, I'm the head of the house. Fine, you are. But then you are forcing your wife to do something that is against her own conscience because she knows the word of God and you can't let her do it because of your own pride and ego. You are the culprit. The cause, lack of the knowledge of the word of God. Just blame it on the leaders, blame it on the pastors, yes. But the bottom line, you have to make the final decision still, isn't it? And you have to find ways and means to know the word of God. Because your home is a Christian home. If you're not a believer, fine. Unbeliever's home, this does not apply. Because in an unbeliever's home, it is normal. It is the norm where everyone will do what is right in their own eyes. But in a Christian home with the absolute law of God given to us, God will hold it against us. And the result of this spiritual decay, you look at verse 9 to verse 13. And so when Micah found this Levite who came to his house, he asked him, when comest thou? Where do you come from? And then he said, well, I'm a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah. Not a Levitical city, by the way. And I go to sojourn where I may find a place. I'm looking for a job, in other words. I'm looking for a place to stay and a job. Because he owns no land. He is like a nomad now. He's supposed to stay in a Levitical city and stay put. And study God's word and teach the word of God to the township and other cities that are around his Levitical city. That was his duties given to him by God. But he packed his bag and he moved house. And when you live in a city that is not a Levitical city, of course you're going to go find any job. And so now he came to this house looking for a place to stay. And so Micah said to him, well, stay with me and be unto me a father and a priest. Be a spiritual father to me and be my priest. And I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year and a suit of apparel and thy victuals. And so the Levite went in. Wow, so good. Food taken care of, boarding taken care of, and still got some salary, some money. This is what the Bible calls a hireling. You want this kind of pastor? You want this kind of priest in the home? Because that's exactly what you find nowadays in many churches. When we were in seminary on the notice board, I didn't understand what our professor meant when he asked us 2 weeks after we set foot in America, he invited us to his home for dinner. And even before we could take off our winter garment, he asked us, are you going back to Singapore after your studies? At first I did not know why he asked us that question. Then he told us, there are many who came and never returned. There are so many who did not understand the significance of their return back to their own homeland to be God's witnesses. They stay in America. And then a few months, we went to the notice board and I saw, notice, Chinese church in Chicago, looking for a Chinese English speaking pastor to minister to our children. We have a pastor who speaks Cantonese, because many of them were from Hong Kong running restaurants. They have their own Cantonese speaking pastor, but their sons and their daughters don't speak Cantonese. They speak English. And so they want a Chinese English speaking pastor. And then below it, you have all the perks. How much money you're going to get, the insurance, the house, the car, and all the perks. Very much like what Micah offered the Levite. Now I understood what that professor meant when he asked us that question. The temptation, the desire to do the work of the Lord for filthy lucre. Because that's exactly what it is. And so he went in. Why not? Why not? He knew very well that you cannot be a household priest to anyone. He knew very well that what Micah had in his house, where you have a house of idols, that is against the teaching of God's word. House of gods. You cannot do that. But for him, all he cared about was me. You think he was very concerned about Micah's spiritual well-being? He was thinking only of himself. He was not interested in God's truth. He was not interested in Micah's spiritual welfare. But that is the problem with spiritual decay. Everybody just simply care only for their own self. And that's exactly what happens. When everyone will do what is right in their own eyes, the father will do what is good for himself, the wife will follow suit, and the children will follow suit. Because that is only the way to go. Because you don't have the absolute truth. You don't teach them correctly. So what do you expect? They will just simply do what is right in their own eyes. When you have no absolute truth, that is the only way to go. That's the way we are. That's the way the world is. But when you have the truth, you will not do what is right in your own eyes. You will only want to do what is right in the eyes of God. And the Levite doesn't care one single bit. He cared only for himself, his own comfort, his own survival. And so here is a deal. Why not? And so the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite. Who is he to consecrate the Levite? You see the thing got turned upside down. And the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. You see how ignorant he was? Now the Lord will bless me. The Lord will be very good to me. Because now I don't have my son. Now I have a genuine God-appointed Levitical priest or Levite in my house to be my personal priest. Now God will be very pleased with me. God will now surely bless me tremendously. Sincere? Yes. Ignorant? Definitely. You think God will bless? Of course not. Spiritual decay. You get used to the smell. Everyone is doing it. You get used to the smell even more. And that's what we find in the land of promise, the period of Judges. This was not a home that is not common. It was a very common home. Everywhere you go, you find this kind of home very much like Micah. This is a typical illustration of the norm that existed in the home during the period of Judges. Exactly when this period was, whether it was at the beginning, the middle, or the end of it, the Bible did not say. But the Bible just gives us a taste, a flavor, a spiritual taste of what happens to a home when spiritual decay sets in, where everyone will do what is right in his own eyes. Check your home. The result is hypocrisy, it is ignorance, it is deadly and dangerous. This kind of delusion, thinking that God will now do him good, will be the nail on his spiritual coffin. Because he will not change. He will go on and on and on until and unless God intervenes in his life and snatch him out of this snare. If he doesn't, he will end up in hell. Micah. Doesn't matter who your name is, what your name is. Who is Jehovah? Good name. But he is not living a good testimony and definitely not a good life. and a good witness to his family, to his sons, to his mother. And now it got from bad to worse. Consecrating your own priest, taking matters into your own hands, and to top it off, thinking that God is pleased with you because you think so. I hope none of us are like Micah, making us think that we are pleased with God. That kind of delusion is dangerous. It is part and parcel of the result of spiritual decay. You get so used to it, you don't seem to care anymore. In the next chapter, thank God for his intervention in Micah's life. Whether he will learn from it, we will see next chapter. But this morning, think of the spiritual decay that God has demonstrated before your very eyes. Because it is found in the home, the source of it is the head of the house, the cause of it, the lack of God's word, and the result, delusion, great devastation. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, and may all of us who are head of every home, who are found in this congregation this morning, evaluate our own families, our own responsibilities, our own soul, how we have nurtured and helped our wives to grow spiritually. If not, forgive us. How we have led and guided our children, whether they have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, or they are still loving the world and struggling with sin. May thou also forgive us. May every head of the home take stock of our duty and our responsibility and do whatever it takes that we may truly be godly fathers, godly husbands in our own homes. Forgive us, O Lord, for our sin. Forgive us, O Lord, where we have failed thee and failed our families. May thou be merciful to turn us around. And we pray, Father, that you will teach us always to be lovers of God's word, that we may not live in delusion and live in sin and not know about it. Help us and bless us, O Lord, with thy wisdom and with thy truth, that every home that is represented here this morning in this congregation will truly be a home that is not in spiritual decay, but in spiritual fervor, serving thee, remaining steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.